welcome to the Single Girl's Guide to Life, your weekly guide to single life living in your 20s, 30s and 40s. I'm Chantelle the Coach, a single life empowerment coach, helping you to make friends with other singles, to embrace your single life and to get confident in doing things on your own. And in today's episode, we're going to be discussing something that we haven't spoken about much on this podcast before. We have discussed the topic in our book club. It was one of our most popular book club events. Lots of discussion on the TikTok that went with this. And this is surrounding the topic of children. It is such a vast topic, particularly for single women that have a biological clock working against them. And there's a lot of assumption for women that you will want children and a family. And there is a lot of pressure because of that assumption and the idea around biological clocks that you therefore must be trying to find someone to settle down and to have children within that time frame to make sure that that happens. And today's episode is discussing the concept that you may not know yet how you feel about children, and that being single and in that situation is okay. Now, there will be people that are at definitive ends of the spectrum of this. Some people very much feel that they know they want to have children, they want to have a family. And there will be other people that feel they have made that decision to say, even if I found someone to be with, I don't want children. I have something that tells me otherwise, that I'm not sure that that's for me. And I would say I lean towards the no end, to give full disclaimer of where my thoughts are at. However, anyone at any time in their life, I would say, can change their mind. I'm for that, particularly with your job, with something that you might not say forever to. The difference slightly, however, with children is that if you say yes, have children and change your mind, it's not quite as easy to be dealing with. And if you say no to children and later decide that you do, but the biological element has gone, then you have that to consider. And that's what makes this so difficult. I appreciate there are other options to having children. And I personally have a real challenge with the idea of pregnancy, that I would consider adoption quite strongly, even though I know that that comes with other elements that you have to then consider and how that works. I know that's a more complex process than just saying I'm going to adopt a child. But the reason that the children discussion is so difficult is because there are, to some degree, ultimatums within them. Whichever end you end up leaning towards, if you get a choice in the matter, once a child is here, they are here. And as far as most people would deem it, you are a parent for life. We know that there are exceptions to that. Parents not being able to live up to that. Parents not being the most effective they can be, but doing their best even so. And some disappear entirely. Some are taken from us as well. But ultimately, if we stick with the fact that it's not something that you would so easily change your mind on or walk away from. Children are the future, obviously. Children are. In society, we talk about having children. But I fail to see, like I fail to see with many of the things that we can talk about on this podcast, where the real education comes for raising a child. And I would say that this probably comes mostly from your environment at home and how you see children being raised around you. So if you are the elder sibling, you may get an opportunity to observe younger siblings being brought up. And depending on age gaps, you might even help with the caregiving. It might be that whilst it's not in your direct family, it's in your wider family units and you have cousins. It might even be that you have a separation between you and your siblings and you have nieces and nephews. And it's all to do with the environment that you get introduced to there, as to then the beliefs you have around family life and how you then want to do it yourself, taking probably the best bits that you experience there and saying, oh, I really want to make sure that we always go away every year together, wherever that might be. and ditching the bits that you're not so keen on, whether that's just different styles of parenting that you don't agree with your parents, or changing time. We're in different generations. However, if we look at the Office of National Statistics, there are record numbers of women in England that are child-free at the age of 30. There's a mixture of things going on there. Delays to having children because women are choosing to prioritise their careers rather than having children and building a family. And they're delaying it. But also there's this element of looking at the reality of what it takes to raise a child as well. I know that there are some people out there that know and want to love and have a family entirely. I've seen that. I've seen that in my friends. And for someone that didn't get to see a lot of child raising going on, my brother is 3 years younger than me. We are the youngest on one side of the family. And on the other, the two younger cousins, one is 7 years younger. So we'd have seen a little bit of that. And one is 13 years younger than me, so definitely saw some of that, but very sporadically. Their cousins, didn't see them that often. And now there is a new baby in the family because it's my cousin's child, whatever that makes that. And they're the babies that have been in my kind of universe and who I've seen, and it hasn't been all that much. I certainly didn't see many nappies being changed, not in a way that I could remember it and consciously think about, oh, that's interesting how you did that. The conversations being had with toddlers. I am witnessing more now through my friends having children than I did growing up as a child myself around children like that. And so I am seeing what it's like, really like, to go through a pregnancy. And for the people I know that have been pregnant, I'm trying to, like, that I know as friends, I don't think anyone's not had a difficulty. Like, whether that's before giving birth, during the birth, following the birth. So my element of, you know, pregnancy section only gets reinforced through that. And I know there are going to be, for their stories, there will be other stories that are okay, that go well. But to me, that's an element of fear. And then I also, from my experience of having been a teacher, look at how much schools are currently relied on and what kinds of things we are supporting pupils with, where sometimes it is falling down in family systems. And that isn't necessarily a family's fault. They may not be aware. They may not have the resources. We know the cost of living is going up. And so parents are working more and more. Some parents have always been working a lot. Some parents have always had multiple jobs. And therefore it's fallen to sometimes grandparents or the child kind of looking after themselves at certain points. And whilst I appreciate that maybe I could therefore be good at it because I can see some of that. I know lots of people have said that to me when I've previously spoken about this a little bit on TikTok. I'm not sure I'm prepared to give that time, that energy and love that a child needs. Now, I don't know where I heard it first, but I think it's something along the lines of the first 7 years are the most important in a child's life. And knowing my interest for attachment theory, I know that I'm going to want to make the best of that situation as possible. You know, there's a book I'm currently reading. I haven't finished, but everything so far I've read in it backs up my belief that this is hard work. It's The Book You Wish Your Parents Had Read by Philippa Perry. And as I say, I'm only really starting it. But most stuff that's come up so far has just said to me that a lot can happen for a child's life in the early years. So when I've considered this before about how I would want to raise a child, I'd very much want to create that supportive environment. And I'd want to bring that child up properly. And I'm not sure how you do that in a way that works with 9 to 5, although arguably I've started to try and escape that. But then at the same time, through conversations with the people that now have children, I also understand that for a parent's sanity, it cannot just be you raising that child. And I go back as well to the idea that it takes a tribe to raise a child. It takes more than one person. And I'm not sure I have that set up in the way that I would imagine it yet. And I'm not sure what I would see for it. And so it is also okay if you're not sure either. Because you can think that you have to want children, that you have to find that someone, settle down and make that family happen. It was the pressure around that when I got married that made me realise this was not where I wanted things to be headed. And that's difficult because previously we'd had conversations about names. Who doesn't at times? But you don't think anything of it because, again, it's the pathway. There is, and then you suddenly become conscious of what it really means. I think you can probably achieve that without being a teacher. I think it is helpful to have people around you that do have young children. On the flip side, that experience of being a mum, I would look at it as doing something successful. And I think the process of children is messy. And there's probably something within that that I would need to do some work on. And arguably, I'm just not prepared to do that necessarily. I look at the idea of having a child as such a long-term investment. I'm not sure that I want that. I'm not sure that I do. If people go, do you not have that desire? No, it's not there. And for all the children that I have helped, particularly in the teenage stages of their lives, because as a secondary school teacher, that's a testing time. I can have good conversations with children. I can work with them. I can understand them. I can speak to them in a way that they feel heard and understood, which is great. And it's a great trait to have as a teacher. Would that make me a great parent? I'm sure the skills would overlap. Would I have the dedication to it? I don't think so. And I think it's okay to open this conversation up to say, I'm leaning towards no. However, the little doubt sits in my mind that I'm like, but if someone came along, would I want that? Like, is it because I can't picture it and see it whilst being on my own? Because that is not an option for me. Personal choice-wise, comes back to that idea of a network. Whoa, I feel you need... sometimes you don't get a choice. I realise that my mum and dad are separated and mum was primary caregiver from the age of, for me, 9 and my brother 6. So completely understand that you can be living in single parent households and sometimes that has to happen. Sometimes it happens fairly early on or later on. It happens and it can't be avoided. I would look to have that network of support around me, and naturally the most direct path to some of that network is the partner aspect, the father of the child element. But there is also that thing of, well, what if they leave? And what situation does that leave me in? Am I prepared for the potential play out of all of this? You know, whether they leave or pass away, because that's a reality too. Am I prepared to have this child no matter what the situation? And there is a beauty in it. It must be one of... It's always said that having children is one of the most rewarding things that you can do. It's fulfilling. But I think probably for the high that you get of that, you probably get some interesting lows too, because I feel like, it's that quote, isn't it? Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So when something goes really, really well, you also get the really, really bad bit to follow or before it or around it, because it all has to balance out. And it's just not something that entertains me. And that's okay. And I know couples that are together and have pretty much made the decision that that's not for them. And I know other couples that couldn't wait to get started. I was having a conversation with someone in the Single Life Be Like community about how it feels when you're single and the people around you are starting their families and they're becoming more like that. And I've felt that, I've been worried about that, because I know that that pulls a focus, and the friends that you had have a priority. And whilst I was never going to be the top priority, I was still just in the higher priority section. A baby, a child, children get really high priority and they take up a heck of a lot of time. Now, that is that person's choice. But it does also have a knock-on effect on you. And then if a lot of that experience is happening around you, it can make you not feel like you're part of the gang. And this is obviously partly a test of your friendship. Can it shift? Can it move with that kind of significant change whilst you're not moving at the same pace? And it's okay that you're not. Can it stand that test? Can you go through it? How often are you able to go around and accept that there is now a child there? And how often can your friend in return offer you some time one-to-one without a child there? And I think there's probably a compromise on both sides there to be looked at. But at the same time, it can make you feel like you're not moving at the same pace as everyone else. And that's partly why the Single Life Be Like community is there, to help singles find singles so that they can make friendships and not feel like they're constantly behind. But there's people that are single and might even choose to stay single. With the having children option, however, we were discussing the fact that having those friends and being friends with them, though, is still a reminder that you may not have that. And that can be the hardest bit, is that even if you're someone listening to this podcast and you know you want children, you want a family, there are certain ways to make that happen. We've got technology, IVF, adoption. There are options, but I know a lot of people have expressed it's not necessarily the children part alone, it is the family element part alone. And I kind of touched on it there when I was exploring it myself, with the idea that you have to be prepared that may not stay the same through unfortunate circumstances or people's choices. Even if we get that initially, there is every possibility that things could change so that it doesn't. And that would be disheartening and devastating if it did. But we were also then talking about how we could shift perspective of that. That the idea of having children doesn't have to be lost just because you don't have your own children of any sort. With the friends and the family that are having children around you, try to be a part of their lives, because it does take more than one person to raise a child. It used to be full on tribe based. It used to be that they were all together and people would share all the time, and it wouldn't just be a mum's meeting once a week, couple of times a week. It would be all the time that you were around one another, helping each other to care for them. And whilst community and is separating out into little sections, I think there's value to be the cool auntie, to be the godmother if you get that official title, or just that pretend auntie. They're the best ones, right? The ones that you call auntie, but they're not really auntie. And being there regularly enough to help raise that child, to have an influence on that child. And that might not mean that you get to make the choices for the child like you would a mother. However, that child will have more influences in its life than it just its mother and father, than just the grandparents. Because the minute they set foot in nursery, in school, they are interacting with their friends. And when they can communicate effectively, they're talking to one another and they're learning from one another. And then teachers and school life influences children heavily, as do social circles that grow bigger and widen as they head towards secondary school. There is still a way that you can show the love, the motherly love that you would have for your own child, to the children that are naturally in your life, that you're being introduced into the life of, and to give your gift and passion of love, kindness, unconditional love to those children there. I think that has to be my best solution for not being able to guarantee that anyone could have a child, because even with the technology, even with adoption as a possibility, some of those things don't work, and maybe doesn't feel like the right setup to do that in. And I can't guarantee that people will meet someone that make that happen. And you may not feel comfortable with the fact that that idea could change, that or the way that that looks could change, and you have to be prepared for every eventuality. So if you find yourself feeling disheartened that people around you are pregnant and they've announced that and the gender reveals start happening in the birth, it's worth expressing what it brings up in you to somebody else, probably. Probably not that person. Let's not take away from their joyous moment and find someone that you feel comfortable just expressing how you feel of, you know what, it really worries me that it's going to impact on our friendship. Because you need to have your feelings validated in some way. It's okay to feel that way. But then, looking at the way that you can rephrase and put your focus on, but if I'm allowed to, if I'm encouraged into that world, and hopefully if it's a best friend or family member, then you are, then I will love that child and help to contribute to its positive life and the love and support that will surround it, and looking at it that way. Plus, you won't have half, three quarters, 90% of the responsibility that the parents do. You can be the helping hand. You can be the, I'll be the babysitter. I'm there. I'll do it when they want a night off. You're not the one desperately seeking a night off. This isn't a podcast episode that's meant to convince you either way. It's meant to alleviate some of the pressure around feeling that you must be after that. As someone that leans towards no, but is quite happy that I'll change my mind. I don't know, maybe a hormone's going to kick in at some point and suddenly I will be like, oh, I must, I need to. And I then can't guarantee that that's going to happen. I have to be prepared that that may not be an eventuality for me. And so through a discussion in the Single Life Be Like community with one person, which was beautiful as far as I was concerned, that is my solution for the bit that we can't control necessarily, even with all the modern technology and possibilities, or because you've got a particular way it looks. That's my solution to how do you deal with those feelings of, you know, that desire to have a child and to love a child in that way. And if it isn't about loving the child, I wonder if it's about what it means to have a family. I did a series of this on TikTok. It was either late December or early January. And I said, I'm not sure. Because I lean towards the no of a child, I then couldn't understand why I felt jealous when people announce pregnancies. Because I was like, but I know. At the moment, if you said tomorrow, you could be pregnant tomorrow and have a child. I'm no, thanks. I am okay. Like, it's not for me at the moment. No. But why did I still feel that pang when certain people would announce their pregnancies or babies were born or whatnot? And on my reflection, it wasn't the child, which is what should be the kind of focus here. It was what it meant. It was almost the element that someone would be prepared to have that child with you and would be prepared to commit in that way. It was that element. And so it wasn't really about a child and a family. It was about love and commitment, a declaration of love or a display of love, an expression of love, and what it meant. And I think that's worth something. I think that might be worth examining as well. And being absolutely certain that it is the child, the family element that you want, and you want to raise a child and put the time into that, because it doesn't stop at 18 either. I know a lot of people try and hurdle over to get to the 18 bit and then they're their own person. You know, that parent role is for life, hopefully. And so it's a big one. Such two ends of the spectrum that have, for women, that ultimatum of, I'm going to have the child and I'm going to be a parent forever. I'm not going to have children. And at a certain point, there is a cut off to doing that biologically. Unless you freeze eggs, I suppose. Will it work later? Do you have the finances? There are lots of elements that put barriers up to that. I realise there is a path that some people could take to make that happen. I hope that that's giving you some reassurance either way, something to think about. I know that it's tough if you do have that clear desire to have children, and I hope that that suggestion of finding children to pour love into in a different way can be achieved through your friends and family. And if it can't be done through that, I would look at volunteering. There are so many opportunities to support people in need. It doesn't have to be children, but obviously you can choose charities that work with children. And charities are often working with children that maybe don't get forms of love at home through their situation, through the way that their family is built and the conditions that they live in, through mentor children, through charities, to support with things like Duke of Edinburgh Awards. There's so much to offer out there. So even if you don't have that network, or the people in your life aren't having children for whatever reason, or they're not prepared to let you take a small role in that child's life, and that's entirely their decision, then there are still other ways to have an impact on children's lives in a way that they will always appreciate you. If you do that, if you appreciate and respect children in a kind way and listen to them, oh, particularly teenagers, as a teacher, I can verify that children will appreciate you. I'm a maths teacher. Children are Marmite with maths. They love it or hate it. There's very rarely the middle ground. I get the most appreciation sometimes out of the children that hate maths the most, because I've been able to either make it interesting or just validate them as a person. And, you know, there is that element of knowing that you can do something for children even without being a parent. That's a whole big other topic, but it's just worth something considering if you don't then have the opportunity to help contribute to a baby's life being raised that's in your family network. As it did on TikTok, I'm sure this will stir up conversation and thoughts on this, because it's not often spoken about in a way that suggests maybe that child-free is valid. And it's becoming more and more of an option for people. It's becoming more and more seen that you don't have to have children unless you want to, and that's okay. It's okay to not do what everybody else does or what previously has always been done. And that is always what this podcast is about, opening your eyes and ears up to different perspectives of single life, how to navigate it, and to manage that pressure that we might feel of body clocks, of people's expectations, and more. This is all about being single together, and I want to make sure that we keep on doing that. So feel free to join the waitlist for the Single Life Be Like community, where conversations like this, that's where one of these conversations actually happened. It was a one-to-one by chance, because only one person turned up that week. That's absolutely fine. I'm there. We just discussed single life and it was brilliant. And I've walked away from it, that person walked away from it, feeling a lot more certain about their single life and their child-free life to that point, indeed. Until next time, keep thriving.